You're listening to 90.7 WFAE. Good afternoon. I'm Mark Rumsey. The NCAA basketball tournament got underway today, and first-round action will come to Charlotte tomorrow with four games on the schedule. Many of the upcoming tournament games could be decided by a free throw, that basketball staple that can bring exhilaration or exasperation for players and fans. Well, not all free throws are created equal, and no one knows this better than Larry Silverberg. He's professor of mechanical and aerospace engineering at North Carolina State University. And for the past two decades, he and a colleague have used mathematical calculations to study the trajectories of basketball shots, including free throws. He's stepping up to the line right now to talk with me about his findings. Hey, Professor Silverberg.
Hello there.
Players have been trying to conquer the free throw for as long as the game has been around. You and your colleague used math and computers to study this. What key variables in a successful free throw shot did your studies reveal?
We've learned a lot of things. We've learned about the fact that the ball should enter the basket toward the back. There shouldn't be more than a couple-inch gap between the ball and the back of the rim. And whether you're a short player or a tall player, that was one of the findings that we thought was kind of interesting.
And your work, as I've looked at it, has some very specific calculations, degrees of angle on release of the ball and degrees of backspin and so forth. I guess I'm wondering, how does a player determine that? How do you achieve, I think it was a 3 hertz level of backspin?
That's a good question. So in the math, you end up with these numbers, releasing the ball at a certain speed. And obviously the player doesn't have calculations and numbers. So what the player does is translate that into kind of rules of thumb. Like you don't say that release the ball at an angle of 51 degrees. You would say just put enough arc on the ball so it looks like that the ball, the top, when the ball's at its peak of its trajectory, it's near the top of the backboard. Just put a kind of a nice level of arc on the ball. Or 3 revolutions per second of backspin actually corresponds to seeing the ball rotate about 3 times. It takes about a second for the ball to reach the basket. So that corresponds to just seeing it about 3 times. You don't have to be exact in any of these things. You just want to kind of get in the vicinity with each of those. You're getting close to being a 90% shooter.
Professor Silverberg, what about the old underhand style of free throw shooting? We don't see that today, but in the 60s and 70s, a pro player named Rick Barry perfected that method.
The underhand is a very interesting shot. Mathematically, it's a lower percentage shot. If you took two players and one did an underhand and one did an overhead shot, the overhead shot would actually have a higher chance of success. But the underhand shot is easier to impart because it's a smooth motion. It's just a single motion by the body. And so what I generally recommend is if a player is really a bad free throw shooter, so much so that you would want him to just start over again from scratch, maybe he or she is a 40% shooter, it may not be a bad idea if the player is game, if the player really wants to do it, to switch to an underhand.
Well, you'll be watching some NCAA action?
Pretty soon, yes.
And when you watch, are you thinking about trajectories and mathematical calculations?
Well, I wouldn't say that I'm really thinking too much about the mathematics of it, but I do know, like everybody else, when you see a really nice shot and it's released properly, it does have a certain beauty to it.
Well, Professor Larry Silverberg at North Carolina State University, thanks a lot for discussing the free throw.
My pleasure.